It was your love that sent you there. It was your love that breathed that prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was your love that said, I offer myself for you. It was Jesus' love. It was the Father's love. It was the love of the Holy Spirit given on our behalf that raised us up, Father. This evening as we come, give us thankful and full hearts because you have loved us with such an everlasting love. Help us to find our place in your family and enjoy the love that you planned for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15 is kind of right in the middle of that closing section that goes from John 13 to John 17. That's how it works out. John 13, Jesus tells us how we are to relate to our family when he's gone. He's come to make us a part of his family. He's going to go back to heaven. And in John 13, he tells us how to love one another. We take care of one another and help clean one another up. Interesting, children in the home make messes. I had a son, we called him Messy Marvin. We'd get him all ready for church, he'd look immaculate. Not a wrinkle or a spot on him any place. We'd get the other two ready, and by the time we were set to go, Marvin had completely discombobulated and there was no time left. He looked like that guy on Charlie Brown, Pigpen, you know, the dirt from one end of him to the other. Today, he's absolutely meticulous in everything he does. You never find it. But when he was little, he was well fertilized that way. He had dirt all over him. But see, if we're to love one another, and John 13 says we take care of one another and help clean one another up. One of the interesting things in John 13 is he says, you ought to wash, what's the next word? One another's feet, which implies that maybe you'll make a mistake every once in a while. And we don't quit on family just because they boo-booed or they made a mess. It's our job to stand by them and help them to grow, and we grow through helping them grow. John chapter 14, he tells us how to relate to the Father. John chapter 15, he tells us how to relate to the Son. And John chapter 16, he tells us how to relate to the Holy Spirit when he leaves and he now is at distance from us. Peter's going to say later on, and we'll talk about that maybe, whom having not seen you love. It brings us back to John 15 and what we're doing here. Because John 15 is a remarkable thing because all the way through this, interspersed with all this teaching, he keeps telling us how we relate to the world that we live in. It becomes the way that we understand what we're to do. And unless we understand what God's plan is and what he's doing, it's hard for us to accomplish it. If you don't have a set of directions, if you don't have an idea, if you don't have an overview of where you fit in, it's hard to get the job done. It doesn't do you much good to have a horse or a mule unless you know how to put a saddle on them or hook them to a plow or a wagon. That's what they do. But the only way you can get them to work and to accomplish what they do is to harness them. And John chapter 13 to 16 is the way that God explains the process of getting into the work that he's designed us to do. That's the purpose of the text. So we're going to look at John 15 tonight. I want to give you just a couple of little harness points to help keep it in track. So day by day as you're doing things, when things come up, you can say, now what am I supposed to do in this situation? And then you just apply John 15. I've heard a lot of sermons on this and read a lot of sermons on this. And it seems to me that oftentimes we miss the point. You know the old saying about straining at a gnat and missing the camel and so on. That's the problem that we have. We get so interested in looking at the minutiae that we forget the big picture. And it's the big picture. Because if we don't remember the big picture, then we don't know where we fit. And oftentimes, by focusing on the little things, we don't see the forest because of the trees. So to put this down where we can harness it up and get this to pull the wagon for us, I want to tell you, for lack of a better way of saying this, five secrets about how I treat Jesus in my life. I use a secret, the word secret, kind of on advisement, because it's not a mystery or anything. You know what a secret is? A secret is the gossip we tell to one person at a time. It's only a secret there. If I make a public announcement, it's not a secret. But if I tell it one at a time, no, this is a secret, don't tell anybody. And I go, and you spread it around. Five principles would be a good way of saying it. But there are five things that we don't usually think about in this term. And these five principles explain this whole process in John chapter 15, where Jesus starts off and he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it might bring more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now, I want to just focus on a couple of things and give us some little touch points. And you'll be able to remember this. I'm going to give you five secrets, all right? And you'll write them down, and then you'll promptly forget them, okay? Hopefully you won't, because you'll be able to use this. I use this all the time myself. It's just a truth that I've learned. And I can refresh my mind about what I am doing. Secret number one. The secret of living is fruit bearing. I am the vine, you are the branches. What does the branch do? Okay, in a vine, a branch isn't good for much of anything. You can't build anything with it. You can't accomplish much of that. You know, sometimes when they get all dried out, if you tangle them up, you can make Christmas wreaths. My wife did that with some vines last year. But that's about all they're good for. Branches are only good for two things, bearing and burning. And so what we do, if we understand the secret of living, the purpose that the thing has is to bear fruit. And there's all sorts of fruit in the Bible that God talks to us. There's, you know, like we go to, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one. And you go down through here, and Jesus said that he came to provide his love for us, if you remain in my love. Okay? Later on, he said, I've come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. Love and joy, back in 14. Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. It's the kind of fruit that he produces in our life. And see, when we forget these things, we're full of anxiety and frustration, and we have a sense of failure about us. Why? Because we're not producing what God intended us to produce. Fulfillment comes, and success comes in the Christian life, not by having people look at me and think I'm doing good, but because God works in and through me and produces in me and through me those things that he's designed to do. That's what his life is all about in me. As I draw it out, it comes through me, and the end result is it bears fruit. How many branches do you think are out there going, today? They just hang out. They spend time connected to the vine. And what happens when they spend time connected to the vine? Fruit. And I just love and joy and peace. Other things, there's all sorts of fruit that's talked about in the Bible. Paul said to the Romans, he said, I'm hoping that I might have some fruit among you. What's he talking about? Well, that I can come and spend time with you and we can win souls together. Usually when people get to this text, the only fruit they think about is, well, you got to be a soul winner. That's what Baptists think, you know, and they're right. But it's not the only kind of fruit that we produce. Yes, ma'am.
The kids in junior church this morning learned Matthew 3, verse 8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
That's correct. You know, and there's other types of fruit that we produce also. Paul talks to the churches of Asia Minor, and he said, be sure and remember the need that the saints in Jerusalem have, because there's been a famine there, and I'm taking up an offering. And when I come and receive your offering, I'm eager that I might have some fruit among you. Do you ever think that, you know what the second most subtle animal was? You know, Satan was the subtlest of all the cattle that crept on the earth. What's the second one? The pastor, when he takes the offering, that's subtle. I preached in an inner city church, and they took the offering, and he came by, and the pastor looked at it and looked at one of the deacons, and he went like this, so they went out and took another one. And they came back, and they took another one. I don't know what that was. And the funny part of it was, this is just funny. The guy's a friend of mine, and there is nobody more generous than Burnell King. I'll just tell you, there just isn't. He walks around with cash in his pocket in the community in the inner city because you don't deal in credit there, you deal in cash. And somebody would have a need, and Burnell, and this is his money, it's not the church's money. Burnell is just the way he is. I taught him Hebrew and Greek. Can you imagine an Ebonic inner city kid learning Greek and Hebrew? And I carried him on my back till he got it good enough to pass his course in seminary. And then I came back and he was in my class and I taught him New Testament studies. At any rate, Burnell, they took the offering like that and it came down, and when it was done, he had a whole line of deacons up here. And so the deacons came and they sent this plate down by that had all sorts of cash in it. And they got to the first deacon and he pulled out his and put it in. The next one pulled out his and the next one pulled out his. Got to Burnell, who I was sitting next to. Burnell pulled out this big wad of cash that he always carried with him. Thumbed through all these larger bills and found a $5 bill and pulled it out. Put it in the plate and made change. I did not let him live that down. I just thought that was, it tickled me because I know Burnell. You know, to say that Burnell was cheap, it would not ever fly. He is the most generous guy I ever met, I think. But it is just absolutely intriguing to me that he'd make change like that. But see, when you get the opportunity to give, that's fruit bearing. Paul said about the churches in Macedonia, he said, they gave out of their poverty and the suffering that they were going through. And then they said, now that you've received that, please let us give some more. And then he reminds the church in Philadelphia and he says, my God can supply all of your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But the churches in Philippi had just sent all that they had to take care of Paul by Onesimus to pay the freight of Paul's upkeep. And he said, I've received this as a fragrant gift from God. See, what happens when we give is God makes sure that we're taken care of, in case you had never known. Give and it will be how? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give into your bosom. Went out to eat today. I was telling, what's your name, Chris? About it. And we were sitting there eating, and I got ready. I pulled out my credit card, and the waitress came by and said, you have to put that away. I said, why do I have to put that away? She said, somebody already paid for your bill. They just paid for my bill. They paid for my bill, and the company that were with me, they paid for our bill. So that was not a small bill. Where'd that come from? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Here's the end of the verse. Will men give into your bosom? Who put it on that person's heart? And I was looking around afterwards for somebody in there that I knew. And then they told me they'd already left. I didn't even know anybody was in there that I knew. But see, when you're generous that way, and I'm not overly generous probably, but when you're generous that way, God takes care of you. And it's kind of the fruit that he looks for. God loves those who are cheerful givers. I'm always looking for opportunities. You know, it's fruit among us that we have. Well, the secret of living is fruit bearing. That's what he has designed. Second word. The second secret is the secret of fruit bearing is abiding. Branches don't produce fruit. The vine produces fruit. And it's the life of the branch that comes from the vine itself that produces the fruit on the other end. The end product is you get fruit. No struggle for them. It's the closeness of the vine that produces the fruit. And the way that life becomes productive is that we spend time with Jesus and he works in us and through us. How do we abide? Well, in the Word. How much time did you spend this last week reading? See, because when I read, I get close to him. He speaks to me. Some preacher said, when you open your Bible, God opens his mouth. What does he do? He shows us what he's doing and what he's about and how his love affects and impacts us and what he can do for us. And how we can rely on his promises that never let us down. See, when we forget that kind of stuff, that God's promised to never leave me, or God's promised that he'll provide all of my needs, or God's promised that everything he does in my life is good, or that he's absolutely in control of everything that comes into my life and that I'm going to be impacted with today. See, when I forget those kind of things, life falls apart. I've come that you might have joy. And we're always crushed. Well, I have joy because even when I have struggles and I have troubles, I have a wonderful promise. He said, I am a very present help in times of trouble. So whenever trouble shows up, I start looking for Jesus to show up. And he always does, because he always keeps his word. Nobody can prevent him from doing what he said he was going to do. And he always does exactly what he said. You know, it's great to have a relationship. How do you build relationships? See, spend time with them. Spend time with them. You ever hear the expression, familiarity breeds contempt? Phillips Brooks said, familiarity only breeds contempt when you deal with contemptible things and contemptible people. Kathy and I spent 50 years together. In fact, we spent almost 60 years together now. Has it been that long? We got together when we were 16. I'm 72 this year. So what's that, 56? Is that right? 56 and 16 is 72. Is that good math? Or,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to be good at math. You just have to go to an Ivy League school and they pass you through. Yeah. And see, she knows more about me than anybody ought to. You still like me?
Yes.
You do. Because it works out that way. Yeah. Love's an interesting thing. And caring about people is an interesting thing. We talked about that a little bit this morning. Children love because they have to. And they obey because they have to. But mature people do because they want to. And that's the difference. See? Familiarity makes loving easy. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. Abiding is the secret to bearing fruit. Well, I got time out. Abiding is the way that we spend time with him, and he spends time with us. And we talk about what he's shown us in the Word of God with him and the things that we're doing through the day. Prayer for us is just really our checking in with God about the things we're doing. Some of you have not heard me before. You haven't. Do you know what sin is? Yeah. Usually sin means I did something wrong. You know, that's true, but why did you do something wrong? The answer is sin caused me to do what was wrong. What was sin? Sin is I left God out of the process. Whenever I leave him out of the process, I do the wrong thing every time. How do I keep from sinning? D.L. Moody. Spend time in this book. That's how you do it. See, either the Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. That's how it works out. The more time I spend here, the less time. David, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. We tell that to little children, and then we go out and we bother not to read our word all day and wonder why we've fumbled and failed. Very simple process. Very true. You just learn how to spend time in it. And day by day, you allow him to abide in you. Third secret. Are you ready? The secret of living is fruit bearing. The secret of fruit bearing is abiding. The secret of abiding is a word that I've just told you. Loving. Loving. If I love, then I abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it will be done to you. And here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, here it is, that your joy might remain in you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The object is that we love him, and if we love him, we're going to love Jesus through the people that are around us. Back in John 13, and then again here, he said, this is my commandment that you love one another. If I love Jesus, it shows up in how I love one another, because what Jesus came to do was not primarily to save me from my sins. He does that, and I'm thankful. But the primary reason he came was to redeem me and make me a part of his family. And it's a relationship. I'm not in this all by myself. It's not what I'm doing with God, it's what I'm doing with him and his people. And we're family. That's how we grow up. People grow up because they're placed in a family, and when you have a strong nuclear family, you have strong children that come out as a product, children who are mature. And the thing that builds them is that loving relationship that they have with the Father and with each other. It's what gives us our strength and our identity and our sense of well-being, and it gives us our security. The problem of inner city kids a lot of times is they don't have that. So they're always off balance. They don't have a place where they belong. They don't have a sense of security and safety where they can run to when things get tough. I knew that when I ran home, even if I'd done wrong, my father would receive me and he'd stand up for me no matter what. Didn't mean I escaped the problem. I bore the responsibility of all the stupid things I did. But see, God's a loving father who cares for us, and he's never going to leave us. That's what he said. You can't mess up in the Christian life bad enough that God is going to bail on you. It's a great truth. How do I love the way God loved me? How did God love me? He stands by me. He forgives me. I ought to forgive others. He provides for me. He sacrificed for me. Sometimes I might have to see a need and sacrifice for it. See, how do I learn those kind of things? I hang out with the one who is those things. He just kind of rubs off on me. And if I'm not day by day loving and building that relationship, then I'm not producing any fruit because I'm not abiding in him. I'm out there doing my own thing, leaving him out of it, and that's called, see? I've taught you something tonight. We oftentimes make the mistake when we talk to people about faith issues of trying to make it a matter of what we're doing, because faith and salvation is not about what I do. Faith and salvation is what God does for me and through me. He died for me on Calvary's cross. That's how I have a hope in heaven. I didn't get good enough, so God said, well, I'll cancel your debt. I wasn't good enough. I deserved the punishment. The wages of sin is death. I deserved that judgment all in all, didn't I? And we all did. The only difference between me and a pagan out in the world is that I've accepted what Jesus did for me, and they haven't yet. But if he'd do it for me, he'd do it for them. He loved us so that whosoever will might be saved. That's our message. That's how we share that love that Christ has given to us. We understand, and he helps us that way. And the secret of loving or of abiding is to love people. And let him work through us to touch other people's lives and transform them as he changes us in the process. Which brings us to the secret of living is fruit bearing. The secret of fruit bearing is abiding. The secret of abiding is loving. What about loving? What's the secret of loving? It's interesting when you read down through here. Okay, let me get back in here. If my words abide in me, abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The secret of loving is obeying. Right? Little children obey because they have to. We give them rules, you break the rules, I break you. Pretty simple, straightforward. They understand that, okay? Teenagers, on the other hand, they obey the rules because they need to. You want the keys for the car? Mow the lawn. Follow the traffic laws. You know, you want your allowance? Make sure your room is cleaned up and all your jobs on the checklist, you know, are there. You know, I didn't have a physical checklist. I had a verbal one. It was scary because I thought maybe I'd forget one. And I knew the consequences were there. I'd lose privileges as soon as I didn't get one of those checked off. That's how you learn to be responsible. That's how God treats us, see? And then he said, all right, keep my commands. Keep my commands. Jesus kept the Father's commands. He came and he took our place on Calvary's cross. He said, I finished the work you gave me to do. That's a great hope I have one day of standing before the Father and saying, I finished what you gave me to do. I didn't always do a good job, but I went back and picked up the messes I made, and I finished the job you gave me to do. Because that's what his purpose was in my life, to bear fruit. But in order to bear fruit, I have to abide. In order to abide, I have to love. And in order to love, I have to obey. And how do I go about obeying? See, I have to know what it is I have to do, and I have to have a commitment to do it. So how can I get obedience to work for me all the time? You see how this is practical? You know, I have a framework I can write. How am I going to bring about obedience and so on in my life? If the secret of fruit bearing, or the secret of living is fruit bearing, and the secret of fruit bearing is abiding, and the secret of abiding is loving, and the secret of loving is obeying, then the secret of obeying is knowing. See, when I know about him and I get to know him better and I love him more, it's easier to obey. Much easier to obey. See, when I understand that he's loving and gracious and he has a never-ending mercy and a never-ending love for me, and his grace is beyond all the things that I can imagine, I don't have any insecurities. I can just be me. I don't have to be perfect. And I'm not. And he's still quite fond of me last time I checked. About 10% more than he is you. And that's not true. He loves us. And it's not a performance issue with us. It's a matter of what we're committed to. See, I'm committed to spending time with him. And when I spend time with him, obeying him is no problem at all. Because I know him. He reveals what he's like to me as I read his word. He reveals to me what he's doing and what his plans are in my life. And the more I know that, the more secure I become. And the more secure I become, the more I step out boldly and do the things he asks me to do. Even though sometimes they're hard and they're difficult. And I'm uncomfortable because I've never done it that way before. But you understand, when I know him, 1 Peter, whom having not seen you love, what does he say then? See, we know. Just in case you're wondering, I'll show you it's here. Am I down to 5 yet? Yeah, I got 5 in. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now love one another. If you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, and because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world doesn't have much use for you. Remember the word that I've given you. Servants are not greater than their Lord. If they persecuted me, they might persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Yeah. The secret is that we know him. And as we know him, life works out for us. It's not a matter of forcing myself to do things. It's a matter of walking through things with him and allowing him to help me do it. That's what he means when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn to pull with me. And I'll take the weight off you. Because the great news is he never gets out of the yoke. We do sometimes. But he's always there pulling, even when we're not. Just get back in the yoke. You got burdens, things pressing on you and holding you down, guess where you are? Get back in the yoke. Just stay close, stay close. Do it with him. And that secret's make your life work. Because once you start knowing him, you start loving him better, every day. And once you start loving him better, you abide. And once you abide, you bear fruit. And your life has purpose and meaning and fulfillment. Pretty simple, isn't it? You got five of them down? I said them enough, you know, so you'll never forget now, right? Until you get out the door. All right, let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word that it makes it so crystal clear sometimes. We have to really work hard to mess it up so it's hard to understand. But when we come to you, you give us these wonderful pictures of life that transform us. We pray is that we walk through this process of producing fruit as we abide, as we love, as we obey, and as we know you, you'll put into our heart the joy and the peace and the confidence to step out and fulfill our purpose. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.